Sunday. Sci-Fi side of the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, you've tuned into Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Chris Switzer, and the veritable team of know-it-alls we have behind us over here. We have, we have Diplomat Dave and know-it-all Bob up back in the back helping us out today. So we're here to solve and help you ruminate over all your automotive pleasures. Chris, how you doing today?
Doing well, Ray, here on this open phone Sunday, because we're talking to ourselves at Motormouth Radio, which I'm always pleased to do, because you and I can pretty much prepare for all of about, 12 seconds, and we come up with an hour show, and sometimes it shows. But we have an open phone hour, and I'm very pleased to hopefully get as many calls as we can today.
And how would people do that? How would they connect with us telephonically?
Telephonically, all you have to do is do a tap dance on those keypads, like I used to say in the old days. 516, I used to say it a lot better too. 516-256-9510 is the phone number. Write it down. 516-256-9510. Please call us, because we are talking to ourselves today on this fine fall day. And it's still warm, Ray. It's still warm. I'm very
so
pleased.
Far, yeah. We do have some dignitaries in the audience. You know, we just had our promo from Scotty Gosson. It was just Scotty Gosson's birthday, so a warm...
Oh.
How do you do, Scotty? Happy birthday. I wished him a happy birthday over the weekend. He's doing fine out in Medford, Oregon. And he said he's still working with one of the guys in the – he has been playing with the band for various reasons.
Yeah.
But he's working with one of the guys in the band. And he promised me a couple of years ago he was going to do a couple more promo drops for the show.
Oh, good.
And then they weren't able to pull that off for various reasons. But he said they are still – in talks and trying to work that stuff out. So we may get some more nuggets from the Scotty Gosson combo in the future. Who knows?
That would be very cool. Yeah, that would be great. The open is great, but it's running. It's running. It's doing its due diligence. It's running very long time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so hopefully we'll get some new content from the Scotty Gosson trio. That'd be a lot of fun. So how was your week? Did you have some... I was confused all week, so I mean, we can get into that.
Why were you confused?
No, you know when you step in front of a vehicle, and you know this, you step in front of a vehicle and you have a litany of things that you need to perform on this said vehicle, and you don't know what to do first.
Oh, geez, yeah.
You don't know what to do first. And just to make a long story even longer, I sat outside last night. I had literally the evening to myself. It was a nice night. Went into the garage, closed the door, sequestered myself away from everybody. And I wanted to try and put in a power antenna in the 300. Because there is nothing I don't like more than a stalk of an antenna that just sticks straight up and just doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
It's there. It gets in your way. I can't tell you how many times I've hit it. Bong, bong, and it's just all this appendage that I just don't want there. And I'm an old caddy guy.
Right.
The antennas are supposed to power down into the fender. That's what they're supposed to do. So I don't mind going for an aftermarket antenna and just basically hooking it up and installing it. It's an aftermarket antenna. Who's going to know? And the thing that I'm trying to make lemonade out of lemons is the individual that owned this vehicle before me decided to drill a hole in the metal dash down low. And there's nothing that's more of a burden than a hole in your dash.
Yeah.
So, because how do you fix it? I mean, you could fiberglass it, bondo it, weld it, but you have an interior that you have to completely remove in order to do so. And then you have to paint it that color, whatever the color is.
Right.
So I thought, you know what? I'm going to take the easy way out, and I'm just going to put a switch there.
a switch. That's the first thing I thought of when you said that was a switch, but... Yeah, there's okay. So that's where you're going to put your antennae switch.
Right. So the quandary of what switch to use, is it a rocker? Is it it's got to be a three position switch or so it's one of those things that because it's a power antenna switch.
Sure.
And it has to go up. You have to hold it to go up. You have to let it go for it to stop, and then you have to hold it down for it to go down. It would be obvious. So the whole affair, this whole quandary in my head, okay, we got to set this all up, got to figure this all out. But the thing that stopped the production dead was I figured, let's try the power antenna to see if it works.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea. Excellent idea, in fact. This
is something I've learned from my longtime radio colleague, because the old me would have just installed it and tried to figure it out. Meanwhile, it's in the fender and it's not working. Well, I literally put some power to it. And I got beepida.
Yeah.
I got zero. Nothing.
Beepida, boopida, boppida. Well, where did said antenna come from?
Japan or China.
So it's a new part.
Yes.
And we know what we do know what new means. Joe is on our watching our backs today. So tell everybody what new means, because I just repeated this to somebody during the week who did not know. So please, do you remember the
yes, yeah, never ever worked.
Yes.
That's what new
and means. There you go.
It nothing. Ray, nothing. I tried all different connections because you have three wires. You have a ground, you have a red wire, and you have a green wire. So obviously you hook one to ground, you hook one to the red, which would make it go in one direction, you hook one to the green, and it'll go in the other direction. And if you hooked up one to it in the direction it's already in, you'll hear the clutch go. Tuck, 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 tuck. Yeah. Oh, okay, I don't have to go that way. Let's flip the wires and let's send it in the other direction. Didn't do anything. Wow. Did diddly. So now I'm staring at this thing. I'm figuring, what am I going to do with this now? Well, let's keep those cards and letters not coming our way. But anyway, I had to write the guy back and said, it doesn't work. You're going to have to tell me what's the secret. I don't know what the secret is. Because I don't want to just write the individual that sold it to me. I don't want to write him back and say, it doesn't work. No. You got to give a little bit of back and forth here. So I say, look, is there something I'm not doing? Maybe there's a little card that needs to be pulled out to reveal, I don't know, some sort of power source. I don't know. Because this thing is, like you said, Chinese.
Where did you buy it, by the way?
On eBay.
Okay.
On eBay. But you know what the funny thing is?
Al's Antennas. I know. I've heard all about that guy.
Al's Antennas. No, I've done this before. I had a power antenna that one of these cheap overseas antennas, I bought it and I put it in the TR-6. And that antenna lasted 20 years. It worked fine. It was perfect. I don't know if I bought the same type. I could have.
Probably
I don't
not.
Know. It was 20 years ago.
Right.
So now I'm stuck with a broken antenna. I'm waiting for a response back. But it's now I put that down, and now I'm standing back at the car going, what now? I'm confused. I had my whole night planned, and now I'm like left, like I'm dancing.
Your dance card is now empty. I'll tell you this. I had put a power antenna in my Pontiac back in the late 70s, and to me that was like the boom of mobile audio.
Yeah.
78, 79, 80. Those were like the heydays of mobile audio.
So you're going to get into now mobile audio porn.
Yeah, exactly. In some circles, that's exactly what it is. And I came across that antenna a while ago when I was doing restoration on the car. And I wasn't going to use it. So, okay, it was going to be thrown out. But I held it and said, man, this is a beefy. This is a, like the motor is substantial. This is a chunk. Yeah. And I know that the car is even into the 90s, My Impala, in fact, has a power antenna that works very well. But they downsized them. They really made them a lot smaller.
They're better.
And I don't know if they're better or not, but I know that those original ones are chunky and beefy, and those are nice pieces.
Oh, I've had my fair share of power antenna repair with old Cadillacs. And believe me, the stalk and the motor, you could swing that thing around like a Viking club.
Right.
It will take people out.
You had to use the brace. They always sold you the brace to put into the trunk to brace that motor. And you really needed to do that because the thing would actually torque and move around if you didn't.
Oh, sure would, yeah.
I had one once. Sure. I had a friend that had a problem, and he kept hearing a clunking noise. It was actually the power antenna, to cut to the chase, was moving around in the fender of the car, between the fender and that torque box, and it kept boom, 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 and clunking. And he thought he had front ends falling out and all sorts of brake problems, like... Dude, now it's the antenna.
It's so funny because on the Fleetwood that I had, on my uncle's Fleetwood, the antenna would go up and then fall out of the fender. It would just take like a swan dive.
That's right.
Yeah. Watch. And you'd see the nylon cord following out of it. Right. So, yeah, that I was like, oh, I can fix that. That's not a problem. That's not a big deal.
It must have been the antenna weekend because I just yesterday, in fact, I took my car out, took the Pontiac out for a drive, took it out to wow and awe people with its gleaming chrome and shiny.
You did. Nice.
Made to be driven, and I'm driving it.
Good
and
I'll for tell you.
Again, I'll just cut to the chase. I'll cut to the end of the story. When I got home, I told my wife, I came in and said, you know what? I really like driving that car. It makes me happy. It makes me smile. And I tell you, give me a big V8 with a standard shift any day of the week. Man, those things can do anything. You know,
I agree. Literally,
can do anything. But anyway, I digress. What I wanted to do was one of the, you know, now I'm down to the little finishing detail jobs on the car.
Sure.
And one of them was I needed to put the antenna mast on the stalk.
Oh, okay.
What I did was I broke down and I went back to a fender mounted antenna. Because I had the antenna, like I said, years ago, I had a power antenna in the trunk that I made a hole in the top of the quarter panel for.
Which you filled, I'm assuming.
Well, what I did is after I took that power antenna out years ago, I put in a regular mast in the trunk.
Oh.
And then, but now, fast forward, the fender that I was going to use had the antenna hole in the fender, in the front.
Oh. Because
Pontiacs in that year, for some reason, if you got the manual antenna, it was in the fender. I guess if you ordered a power antenna, it was in the trunk.
So only a friend can ask you this question now. So now you have two holes.
Actually, no. Because you succinctly said, I welded one up.
Oh, okay, good.
welded up the trunk hole, right?
Okay, I hope it didn't hurt. Yeah, well, you welded up the trunk hole.
Just
and
for a
still
second.
And you're still smiling.
Yeah, just for a second. But
don't weld up your trunk hole unless you're prepared. Yeah.
So now I was faced with the quandary of what kind of antenna to put in the fender, and I don't know if you know this or if other people, you just can't go to an auto parts store today and have a, you don't get this selection of antennas like we used to find. No. So nothing I found was really, really struck me as being acceptable. And through the restoration catalogs, there was the correct restoration style antenna with the base and the cable and the mast. And it was like, it cost me, it was over $100. It was like $100.
Wow.
And I resisted it for a long time. I wasn't going to buy it. And I finally broke down and bought the damn thing.
Now, this is an antenna that can manually come up, manually go down, or
it's manually. There's a...
one of like those old, like my Chrysler stalk. It's
a
just
mast.
It's a tree that's sitting on your fender, basically.
But the tree is removable.
Oh,
because there's the bung and all that mounts through the fender with the nut,
right?
And then the mast has a nut on it that slides over a male post, and you tighten it down.
Got it.
So of course, to put a car cover on a car is going to be a pain in the neck because I have a fixed mast.
Yes,
I was thinking about welding a wing nut to it so I can. So anyway, yesterday I said, okay, I have to do this, and I.
Well, hold on. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun.
Let's do that, please.
And say hi. You're on.
Yeah, let's do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my Uncle Ivoonj.
The Ivoonj, the mushroom,
It's What's happening, Joe?
It's time to get on the airwaves. It is the co-host of this fine upstanding program. How are you?
Oh, yes, I'm well. Thank you. I'm coming along. You know,
sound good.
Days I can actually walk 10 feet without planting my nose in the carpet. Pretty good. I mean, let's talk about that power antenna. I think you lucked out. I mean, they have one of the few companies that make it. There's a custom Rosan. They're a little bit on the expensive side, but they're very nicely engineered.
Right.
Also, there's something called Metra that that does the aftermarket radio install kits.
Ah.
So it's pretty easy.
Okay.
And they hold up pretty well, and they fairly easily wired out. That's not bad at all. We had a lot of fun when I had to wire in my buddy's Grand National with his radio, with the factory radio, and we had to substitute the GM antenna with an aftermarket unit.
Oh, man.
That was fun.
There is no room in that fender either. That fender is like an inch and a half wide.
Thank God for Johnny. He was, he managed to get someplace with a little finger.
Yeah, and you need, right, you need long tapered fingers.
Yep. He's, I don't know, he only lost a pint so far. So,
that's not bad.
No, I guess, yeah, seriously, he has to engage in fluid replacement, very aggressive fluid replacement at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the truth, and that's basically what, you know. It's kind of funny because there are so many antennas to choose from now, like Ray says, and we don't have those choices where we can walk into an auto parts store and you know, rub our chin and go, which one do I want? Because I know I'm surprised. Go ahead, Joe.
You can wander through the down the end of the aisle at the store that's opposite of retarded. Auto parts,
right?
And you know, you just rub your chin, and the guy will take pity on you. And sure enough, hey, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Did you see? I'm exfoliating.
So, right, I'm exfoliating. So don't rub my chin.
See?
Ah, that's funny. Good stuff.
Hey, it's good to hear from you, my brother. You sound good.
Sure.
You sound good.
You too, man. Thank you. As always, you are consummate professional. That's great. Well, anyway, at one point, real quick, I got to see that double-checking the wiring operation. I had the boys in the UD over there. I was like, okay, turn the radio on, turn the key on. Turn the radio off, turn the key off. And you go up and down. I was watching the relay work. But that's the great mysteries of life, and even an engineering degree, an electrical engineering degree. That's great.
To get the when you could successfully get the radio to power the power antenna up when you turn the radio on is a true engineering feat.
And I know with most of the aftermarket radios, it is a blue wire that powers the antenna, just so you know.
The blue wire! Yeah.
It's a blue wire.
High fives and smiles all around. And they'll crack open the bottle for celebration purposes.
Hey, right, Joe, let me ask you a question on another vein, Joe, if I could.
Sure.
You know, our friend Jeep and Al.
Well, it's not an artery.
No. Jeep and Al was asking us last week. You know, he has his Dodge Ram and he has a Power Wagon, and he wanted to get he wanted to buy a scanner so he could look at body issues and like wheel speed sensors and all. What's the Chrysler specific scanner that I know you love so much? The one that really talks to Chrysler well.
What year is that?
I think the Power Wagon is new, and the Ram I think is maybe I don't know, maybe say around 2012 ish.
Okay, anything past about 2008, anything that uses CAN, C-A-N,
right,
communication technology, anything past 2005 or so, they, Chrysler has something called Y-Tech, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But now they have this pretty convoluted system that it goes to the internet, and then it goes through a laptop and a dongle, you know, and of course, the FCC has to approve it because I have to say a dongle.
Right.
You know, but Y-Tech is a pretty stiff, it's a pretty stiff pole that they got to collect. I mean, there's a subscription. And the hardware in that day, it's about $1,500. And wow, it's going to be like thousands.
Yeah.
But as far as that goes, you know, you can go with a, you can go with an Autel or a well-featured Snap-on would do pretty well. You know, you're not completely blind. You don't need dice and a Ouija board.
So, Joe, what would something like that cost offhand?
Well, some of the Snap-ons, like a Soul, so probably about $3,500.
Wow.
Yeah. And, as far as a Virus, which is like a handheld Windows-based scan tool, that's about $8,000-$9,000.
Right.
But it's pretty good. It's got some kind of shop management, wiring diagrams, and all kinds of cool stuff. But,
yeah, I had mentioned the Maxi Sys to him, Joe. I mentioned the Autel Maxi Sys.
I didn't pay that much for the Chrysler I had.
No.
I did talk
to Matt Gomey and Brian about this on the Thursday night show, and he said that Matco has that, I forget which one it is, but they have a scanner that, again, is subscription-based, and you can pay by the month for your car. It's like $20 or $30 for a month of data. So that's another good way to go.
I'll tell you the truth. If I need a $9,000 scanner for my Chrysler, I'm selling the car.
Yeah, good idea.
Well, it's cheaper than getting one of those archaeological expeditions. You know, let's face it. You gotta have a sam.
Right.
Yeah, because Walter P. probably said came here and came to haunt you. That's about it.
Yeah, exactly. Walter P. Chrysler.
Yeah. You know, all right. Well, I'll pass that on to him, Joe. Thank you for the info.
Yes.
No problem. Piece of cake. As a matter of fact, Autel has a lot of stuff that lets you get into late model because they have the secure gateway module bypass, but Snap-on can do it. You can't tell the players without scorecard.
Right.
They're great.
Right. Well, I know my Autel that I paid a couple $100 for got, I would say, 99% of every Chrysler ailment I had on my Dodge police car. And the funny thing was, I think you teched one time, you diagnosed something on my Jeep Compass with your Etch-a-Sketch. I don't even know what it was, Joe, but I do remember. It looked like an Etch-a-Sketch. This thing was sitting in your lap. It was like, it was this laptop in your lap.
Of course, I have a very deep personal relationship with scan tools.
Yeah,
but you know what? A scan tool, the 300, you know, it's going to have wire brush bristles. It's going to diagnose, it comes up and says, it's rust. Stupid.
Yeah, right. But you asked me a question. You actually turned to me dead-faced and said, did you put a bad CD in the radio one time? The car is 10 years old.
It can tell you that. That's right.
Joe was able to diagnose that with this Etch-a-Sketch device that I swear he was tap dancing on the touch screen like I couldn't keep up. But I do remember him saying that.
I remember.
Now I think to myself, I don't want a scan tool that's that invasive.
Yeah.
Get that personal. You know.
I know.
I don't want a scan tool that knows the brand of toothpaste I use. Yeah. I don't want that scanner.
Sure. You know, open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Yeah, exactly.
Go with that.
That's exactly. I don't want that one.
You know, Skynet 3000.
Right, the Skynet 3000.
Yeah, good. Nice. All right, Joe. Thanks for that, brother. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be in touch.
No problem. Gonna
get out and see you again shortly.
And problem, bro. You got it.
You sound fantastic, my brother.
All righty.
Take care. Good to hear from you, Chris.
Good to hear from you too. Thanks for the call. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care, man.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye, bye, Uncle Levone.
All righty. The great Joe D,
the famous co-host of Motormouth Radio.
It's always good to hear from Joe. And this scanner thing is, it'll keep you guessing with stuff like that. It really will.
I agree.
But just to finish up my story quickly, yeah. what I did was I had the mast for my antenna, and I had it. I had test fitted into the base, and I found out you couldn't tighten the nut because the end piece, the stub, if you will, was too long, and I had to shorten it. So I remember I wrote a note, I measured it, and the thing was
shorten your stub.
Yeah, right. Well, of all things, sometimes you have to do that, right?
Yes.
So of all things, this thing was around through the whole restoration, and now that I needed it, I couldn't find it.
Oh, you're killing me!
And I knew
really.
I had it in the trunk of the car. There was a bag. I look in there. It's not there. And I'm looking through my garage, and I've moved things around a little. But I said, okay, maybe I stood it up. Maybe I'm looking. And then, you know, I know that, okay, if I'm looking, I could be looking right at it and not see it.
Yep.
So I try to step back and look with a broad eye. Then I try and look with a more fixed eye. And I tried it, and I couldn't find nothing.
How many broads did you have to bring in?
More than we can talk about on this show. Trust me. So what I did was when I left, I said, you know what? I got to go take a ride. I had to go see our friend Jeff, the glass guy, because he's going to come and reset my windows this week. But he was having a garage sale. I wanted to go down and see him. And
he's
going to
adjust your glass. Very nice.
Yes. I said, I got to stop at the shop because there's a slight chance that when the car was in the shop for a couple months, maybe I took it out. Maybe I left it on my toolbox in the shop. Mm-hmm. You know, just something I have to check. Because I'm not finding it anywhere else. And lo and behold, I went to
the shop. But I tell you, it's in someplace safe, right?
You knew
it wasn't lost.
No.
You knew it was in someplace safe. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
It was lost to me, but it wasn't lost for good.
Right.
Lo and behold, when I got to the shop, went to my toolbox, and I had, there it was, standing up on the top of the toolbox. I was like, all right. At least I remember. Thank God. So then I opened the bay door, and I said, okay, I got to shorten the stub, put on the grinder. Install the antenna, and away I went. So I had an antenna fixed this weekend. Well, at least mine got fixed. Now I can listen to the radio. So anyway.
Very cool. And that's the thing. I don't want to take this apart, my project. I don't want to take it apart and then have it apart and then try and use the car because then I won't have the radio. And mind you, it's just an AM radio, but Ray, I can't tell you. It is the best AM radio I've ever heard.
Oh, the older cars have fantastic AM radios.
I forgot.
Oh,
I forgot.
I told you the story. I had a 65 Coupe de Ville many years ago.
Sure.
And it had the AM radio that had the separate amplifier behind the dash.
Yeah, I remember.
And that AM, and that's the days when you had like four or five music stations on AM.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the 70s. And I found out of a junkyard an AM FM, I think out of a 66 maybe.
It'll fit.
Or a 7. And I installed that. And you know what? That AM didn't have the punch on that radio that the AM alone did, and I kind of missed that. I really did. But yeah, the older radios are. I noticed even newer cars, like my wife's Cruise. It's a 2012. The AM radio in that thing, the AM section of it, it's tinny. It's not what I consider to be a good. And auto manufacturers have cut back on that. They want to do away with it altogether because they say, well, no one listens to a radio anymore.
Wow. Yeah, well, no one under the age of 40 listens to a radio.
You know, until it's a national disaster and everything else goes out, and then you need that freaking AM radio to get...
totally.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I'm hysterical because it's like I'm listening to AM again and going, wow. And, of course, our favorite station, because it is now one of my top three, is locally here in the area. It's WHLI.
Oh, you still get HLI. Good.
I could only pick it up on the Chrysler radio.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I got this little silly little tin box up on the shelf that I'll turn on every once in a while just to hear the news, and I'll try and go and find HLI with it, and I can't find it.
Wow.
I have to fire up the car to turn on accessory to listen to HLI, because the AM radio in the Chrysler gets it better than any other device I have that plays AM, which is hysterical.
It's a great hysterical station.
Yeah. So, you know, well, I'm pulling out of the driveway, listening to the Doors, and I'm like, hey, does it get any better than this? I don't think so.
Right.
Doors on my AM with crisp, clear tones.
There you go. So now our crisp, clear tones are going to switch over, and we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll play a couple of spots, take care of a little business, and we'll come back. And I want to tell you about something that happened to me this week that was a disastrous occurrence that I actually was able to come out on the good side of. But before I do that, I have to ask, do we have an honor group of the hour?
Of course we do. The Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, Ray, today is, if you miss vinyl wood grain on the side of your station wagon, if you long for the days when there was acres of that wood grain on the side of your Colony Park or your Kingswood Estate or your Town and Country wagons, those days when wood was applied to the sides of vehicles like wallpaper, if those were the days that you long for and you like your wood long and adhesive-backed, you're part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
And because of you, I did learn something, and I actually retained it, that material is called Dynoc.
Dynoc, exactly.
I had never known that in all of my years until you said it a while ago.
And you gave me this look like the puppy. You went,
because I never heard it.
Tipped your head.
Yeah, I thought it was contact paper. What the hell do I know? So anyway, all right, we are going to take our break. So let's prepare our transfer of power here. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer on 90.3 WHPC. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College. Also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
And you can go, because we're back on Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, give us a call, 516-256-9510. We were just discussing our little projects that we do here that make the world go around at Motor Mouth Radio.
Mm-hmm. And, yes, we were. Sometimes the stuff off air is a lot better than the stuff on air.
Many times it is, yes. So I want to relay something that happened. It's two stories that I had. I had to do a Ford carburetor for a fellow. One of the guys associated
Ford carburetor fellow, got it.
Yeah, and he
fixed
said
Ford carburetor fellow, got it.
two barrel Autolite, 2100. It's on a 289 in a Mustang, and he said it starts and runs great, but when he goes to drive it and works the accelerator, he doesn't get any acceleration. And I said, okay, sounds like the accelerator pump is bad.
Yes,
I changed it. Like, okay. Oh.
All right.
And I said, well, it could be faulty because it could be new. You know, I said, or knowing that this car sits, I said, if there's a little passage, a little hole in the bottom of the well, and when you work the accelerator pump, fuel gets transferred through that passage, up another passage, and then down into the barrels of the carburetor. That's how it
Correct.
Works.
Correct. Yes.
I said, knowing how ethanol causes all sorts of havoc and problems with cars, I said, if it sat long enough and the ethanol evaporated, which it does, and clogged up that passage, you may have a problem. But we have another issue.
So yes, we do, and we're going to get to it right now. We're going to the phones, going to the fun, saying, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Vic.
What's up, Vic? How are you, my brother?
Eh, not bad. Same old, just assembling a motor.
Oh.
Going with the 46.
So, what are you building?
Quick, 350.
Oh,
350 with a 200 behind. It's going in the 46.
Okay.
Cool. Body works being started on that, like, right about now. So, that should be on the road in March.
Wow. You have a target date already. I mean,
About 10 years ago.
I mean, I think I'm going to get my power antenna installed in March, and you're going to have the car in the engine built and running by March.
Oh, yeah. Well, motor's all done. Just got to put a flywheel on it and wait for the tranny to come back from being rebuilt. Mm-hmm. But I got it. Maybe an antenna question.
Oh.
My 14 Dodge Caravan, you turn the radio on, you get static. You turn the radio on, you get music. And sometimes we go going down the road, you have static, and then you get music. So, I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah. So, your antenna is up or down?
No, it's a stationary.
Okay.
Stationary antenna.
Then we're getting more into the meat and potatoes here. It obviously could be... I would try and reach around, see if you could find a connection between the antenna and the radio.
Yes.
Or it may just be
cable connection. I would say yes. If it's on and off like a switch, I would say you're getting an intermittent signal from the antenna to the radio.
Or it could be the radio itself.
That's them.
Mm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking, how often does an antenna go bad? A non-power one.
Right. No, it won't.
Not too often.
Yeah, but that connection that the cable going to the antenna, usually it breaks there. Usually it rusts or gets dirt in it. Usually that's a weak link.
I've seen some factory cables, like when I took cars apart, that when they put them in the assembly line, they didn't it got just like pinched between the fender and the firewall. Yes, and it lasted like that for maybe 20-something years. And, you know, I've seen some crazy stuff, so... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was thinking that, but I can't even get under the dash. So.
Well, you know, Vic, I'll tell you this. With the
Simple
newer vehicles.
Physics.
No, with the newer vehicles, it's gotten easier to take radios out because it's usually like maybe a trim panel, a couple screws, and they pull right out the front and everything is there.
Yeah.
You know, so what I would do is. If you're that ambitious, pull it out, disconnect, get another antenna that, you know, just a test antenna, plug that one in and hang it out the window and drive
you
around.
You mean a coat hanger?
A coat hanger, yeah.
A coat hanger.
No, you need that for a welding rod. You need that if you got to do some welding.
Oh, yes, right. And muffler hanger.
And muffler hangers, right, exactly. So, yeah, I think that's the track you got to take. It's going to be one or the other.
I love that this show is known for the appropriate way of repairing things.
Yeah, life hacks. Exactly.
Yes. Right.
Exactly.
Life hack radio.
Hammer and a screwdriver and then duct tape.
And then duct tape, right.
Nick has taught us some of the best ones we know, as a matter of fact.
Yes, he has. That's for sure.
Like I said, you got to cut it, you got a cutting torch, and then you have a welder when the cutting torch didn't work right.
put it back together, right. They say if it yep. moves and it shouldn't, you use duct tape, and if it doesn't move and it should, you use WD-40.
That's right. So. And when you touch wires together and they spark, you know there's current.
Okay? Right. Yes.
Yeah. And then fire. Right.
Exactly.
When you let the smoke out.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
I was just talking to Cassie John right, about that this morning. All right, Vic.
Good luck
all right,
with
guys,
it.
Be good, man.
Thanks, Vic.
All right.
Be Take safe. Care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right.
516-2- Go ahead.
516-256-9510. Be like Vic. Give us a call. So what I was saying with this Ford was I explained to him the accelerator pump passage and all that, and I said I'll have to take it apart and clean it, and then maybe this may be a candidate for the ultrasonic cleaner because.
Okay.
So I took it all apart and I found that the it had some sludge in the bottom. You know, it had some brown sludge, but it didn't look terrible. And I tried it first. I put some solvent in the bowl and worked the accelerator pump, and it didn't pump. So I said, okay. Took it all apart, and I put it through my parts washer and cleaned it. And what happened is, you know, I have a dry well in my driveway. I had that installed when my driveway was poured. They literally put in – I thought I was going to put a 55-gallon drum in. No, he put a precast, you know, cesspool funnel down under my driveway.
Good God, man. What were you pouring in there?
Well, no, the reason is I always planned to build a like a shed roof off my house to cover the driveway so the cars would be covered.
Right.
And the rainwater would – what we did is we took the gutter from my den and put it underground into that so that we wouldn't have water on the driveway in the winter that would freeze.
Brilliant.
So it was all part of a plan, and every part of the plan worked except I never built the roof. So
right.
Anyway, I have the dry well, and it has a big grating on it that I can remove if I like. And – this is what I did. I was working on that carburetor, and after I clean them with the carburetor cleaner, I take my hose, because I have a hot and cold water hookup for the hose, use the hot water, and I spray the parts in the basket over the dry well so it just drains down there.
This sounds catastrophic, what we're talking about now.
So what I do is, you know, I'm always wearing my reading glasses and stuff, and what I do typically is I do this, like right. anybody else.
You put them
in my shirt.
Right, on your collar, so they exactly. stay there under your chin.
So there I was leaning.
So you could lose them.
There I was leaning over the dry well, working on the carburetor, and I thought I felt something move a little. And I said, you know, like half my brain said, "Oh, I should probably do something about this." Plop, the glasses fell out right down the hole into the water that's in the dry well.
I would much rather that than parts of the carburetor falling into the dry well.
Those I had in a basket.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And
but
I'm like,
the glass. Yeah, the glasses are now gone.
Now I have various versions of my glasses, and this was one of the newer versions, which was a newer, very good set. And I was like, no, it was like a Geico commercial.
Yeah.
So, and I'm looking down, and I just see this murky. It was like I was watching. That stupid show with the Oak Island, you know, it's like I was looking down the money pit. All you see is like the swirling water and you don't know how deep it is. I'm like, where am I? And I'm thinking, how deep is this damn thing? I really don't know. Like, so, and you know, I'm thinking mechanical fingers. I actually went in the garage and sat back and said, okay, think about this. Like my first thought was like, this didn't happen. I'm like, oh yeah.
No, they're still on my collar.
How am I going to get them back?
And yes. Like,
okay, mechanical fingers. No way. Totally. I couldn't get my arm down there. It's way too deep.
And you couldn't pull the grate off and send one of the kids down there.
That well, the grate was off, but now uh-huh. now the hole is maybe, you know, six, eight inches in diameter. That's all. You're not sending a diver down.
Yeah, kids are not going to fit.
No,
okay.
No. Not even yours.
I'd volunteer her. She'd go down there.
So I had the thought, and I said, you know what? I have these neodymium magnets that are very, very, very strong.
Right.
And I have one that's about a half-inch diameter by about an inch tall. And this thing is...
I like when you make those hand gestures. Too bad you can't see them on the radio.
Right. This thing is the Mameluke of magnets. I mean, it is the strongest thing
The Mama Luke of magnets.
It is.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Ray has got the Mama Luke of magnets right here for us. Yes.
So I was trying to figure out, okay, how do I lower, if there's got to be some metal on the glasses in the hinge by the screws.
Yeah.
Minimal, but there's got to be some.
I'm liking this plan. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Because I was thinking about sending a basket down, but no, if they're on the bottom, the basket won't scoop it. You know, I'm thinking of all the stuff in my head. I said, so how do I suspend this magnet and get it down there? Because it's just smooth. So I took the magnet, I put it in a plastic parts bag, and then seal it. And then I took a long stretch of hookup wire, like the 20-gauge solid wire.
I was going to say, you got a wire hanger.
6 feet of it.
Oh my gosh.
Pushed it through the seal of the bag, and I kind of sewed it around and then twisted it. Now I had the, and I lowered it down, and I started going fishing.
Dun, 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 dun.
And I came up, you know, with nothing, and all of a sudden I came up, and there were the glasses.
Oh, my gosh!
And they came up like with oil, disgusting, but I saved them. Took them in the house, washed them off.
Oh, my gosh. Saved the glasses. The magnet Mama Luke came through.
Because now when I put the glasses on, they stick to the plate in my head. So I can't. It's hard. I got to demagnetize them. But the other side of the story, that was the great success. The other success was when I went to put the carburetor back together, I took a close look. And it, even though it's a Autolite carburetor, it has an accelerator pump and plate just like a Holley has. That it has a little plate with four screws and an arm.
And in there, the accelerator pump is like it looks like the size of a quarter, and it's surrounded by a square of rubber, right?
It's a diaphragm, exactly.
Diaphragm.
But there's also a spring. And what this guy had done was one of the times when he had it apart, he had the spring in front of the pump instead of behind. He had it in the wrong spot.
Oh, so no way.
I reassembled it, and now to test it, I just filled the bowl with water and worked the arm, and the thing was squirting water like crazy. I'm like, a second problem solved. So,
wow, look at you.
Those are the highlights of my week, pretty much.
Wow, Mr. Problem Solver, and all it took was a Mama Luke magnet.
Mama Luke magnet, I tell you. And I use that also. I keep it stuck to the side of my toolbox because whenever I need something magnetized, like another screwdriver, I just touch it to it, and literally, bang, it grabs it, and you rub it on it, and now the thing is magnetized.
But now I have to ask you the Ray Guarino question.
Yes.
What are you going to do to solve that problem so nothing else falls through because I know you're not going to change your routine of spraying stuff over, taking the basket and cleaning the parts, the carburetor parts over the basket, over the grate. What are you going to do to solve that problem that maybe your glasses won't fall through the grate again?
Okay, again, you got one part of it wrong. I had removed the grate.
Oh, that's
so right. I was looking at just the open hole. Because what I do is the basket from my carburetor agitator, the diameter of the basket is just a little bigger than the diameter of the hole. So I sit it right on top of the hole and hit it with the hose so all the water goes straight down.
Got it.
What I'll do in the future is I won't hook my glasses on my shirt. Or I'll do what I did years ago. When I first started wearing reading glasses, I said, you know, I need these things, and I don't have them with me. I asked my wife, I said, when you go to the store, get me one of those lanyards that, you know, you put on your glasses and you put it on
your... What?
Remember, I used to wear it at the station.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
she says, no, you can't do that. You're going to look like an old librarian.
That's exactly what I was... I think I said the same thing.
Yeah, you did. And she wouldn't get me one. So, being much like you in my sensibilities, I said, okay, I'll make one. So instead of all the nice strings and threads and things I have, I took a piece of cord like Jethro Bodine would make a belt out of. Not that thick, though, but sizal, like, you know, cord.
Right.
And
twine.
I tied it around, and she looked at me one day. She's like, what the hell are you wearing around? I'm like, well, you wouldn't get me one in the store. I said, so this is what I came up with. How's that? Guess what showed up at my on my at the table? Two pre-made.
Brilliant. Brilliant. My longtime radio colleague. That's wonderful.
Sometimes stubbornness can pay off.
But we still can't get you to wear the headlight on your head. You won't do that.
Yeah, you know, I do definitely see the benefit of it. And it's just, it's a comfort thing with me. It's a comfort thing. And now the tool companies make a light very similar. They took that idea. Actually, they made one that clips onto the brim of a hat, which is kind of cool. But the brim is, they have one now that you put it around your neck. It's kind of like a U-shaped. And there's two, you know, there's two lights that rest over your shoulders.
I knew a couple of women like that.
That's pretty cool, yeah. And you can bend them in, out, up, down. You can adjust them. So they're around your neck, which I was thinking about maybe investigating one of them. I don't know. But, it's all good stuff.
Because Dawn got me one of those. It is about that big, and it sits right under the eyes. I actually rested on my glasses, and it's like the sun. I could light up an entire engine bay with it. Wow. I love it. I totally love it. Yeah, and it's rechargeable, and it doesn't take batteries. I can even plug it into my computer. It's got a
a USB port.
USB, thank you. Yes.
That's how most of them charge now, yeah. You know, I did try that light once, but it happened to be in the summer, and you know, I was just too sweaty. It was like uncomfortable. I'm like, eh. Now I guess with time you could get used to it.
Oh yeah, I blind people with it. Yeah. I turn and I go, what? And they're like, ah.
Yeah, right.
Holding their hands up like, ah.
Right.
Stop it. You're sterilizing me. Stop it. But yeah, they're the greatest. I actually I was wearing that dopey thing when I was staring at the antenna that I couldn't figure out how to fix. Because I don't know, it's like you say, it's old age is starting to catch up to us. I need different pairs of glasses for different applications now. Like I'm wearing my reading glasses right now, but when I get up and go up the stairs, I'm like, whoa, yeah. So I have to put on my other glasses, I wear. Those are like my walk around and kind of discuss things with my family type of glasses. So
you need a transition lens is what you need.
You know what? I tried. And it's just like you say, it's like getting used to. I put them on. I'm like,
everybody I've spoke to has said they had the same problem in that transition period.
Yes.
I think they have smoothed the transition a little more now over the years. Because even my daughter, she got transitional contacts, I think. And
come on.
Yeah.
Really?
And she said, yeah, you know, it took a while, but and then once you get used to it, it's like you can't go back. It's like, because now you literally have both pair of glasses.
I am just amazed. How can that technology fit in something that's half the size of a dime that you stick in your eye? How do you know when it's right side up?
I had cataract operations on both of my eyes and they put lenses in there to correct the stuff so that they can do amazing things.
Yeah, that is amazing, and I'm still walking around with two pairs of glasses. So. And you are too, obviously.
Well, but I got about seven, but you know, I just have to have a pair everywhere I go. I don't want to carry it. I just have one everywhere. You know, Paul says you sound like his father. So, just so you know, hey, Paul, if you know where to get a vacuum advance can for a Chrysler 383, let us know that, because that's information Chris could use.
Exactly. I'm starting to sound like everybody's father. Actually, yeah. I hate when I sound like my own, because if I'm talking to my kid, I'm a cross between my father and Robert De Niro. Because if you know, you have to get into that dad discipline, and I'm like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Right. Look at me.
You looking at me? You looking at me?
I'm talking to you. Look at me.
You must be looking at me. I'm the only one here.
I'm like, when did I turn into Robert De Niro?
And what does she say to that?
Oh, she gives me the blank stare like her mother does.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at the wall. Who are you?
Right.
Get out of here. Take a walk.
I get the. She has got the blank stare down pat, my kid.
That's great. She inherited it well.
Oh yeah, and I always said, you know, the one person when you talk first, you lose. Always the one who talks first loses. So when you get the blank stare, then you have to continue talking. At that point, you know you've lost.
Right. Well, we're going to lose. We've lost another hour, so we're going to have to get out of here and let Kim come in and do Thunder Road, the best of Springsteen. So We're going to have to wrap this soiree, Chris, and we'll come back again next week. We're still working on Mr. Matt Stone, who wrote the Bullet book. We may get him in next week.
Nice.
And there's another fellow who's from Auto Recombi. It's a Fiat place. They merged with Allison Engineering. We're going to get them on, but I guess we will push them for 2 weeks. And then we'll have some more fun. So we'll get out of here for now. What do we always say to people who tend to listen?
Right. Who haven't switched off yet? Don't follow us home.
Right. And with that, Ray Guarino for Chris Switzer was signing off. We'll see you next week on Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC. See ya.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.